Tonight I want to talk about separation. If you got your Bibles, can you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Tonight I want to take a little bit of time to talk to the unsaved first. You know, if you're in here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've never been sorry for your sins and never asked for forgiveness and turned and repented from your sins, you are separated from God. You might think you ain't, but you are so far away from God. And, you know, the Bible even says that God won't even hear you pray. He won't even hear you talk to him. The only prayer that is possible for God to hear if you pray is to ask for forgiveness. That's how far you are from God. That's how separated you are from God. And if you're in here tonight and you are saved, and there's sin in your life, the Bible says you're out of God's will. You're out of fellowship with him. And he says that you, if you confess it, that fellowship will be restored. You know, the Bible also says if you're not saved, that you are an enemy of God. In Romans 5 and 10, it says, God is your enemy. And as I was studying this, what struck me, I looked up the meaning of enemy in a Bible dictionary and in the Webster dictionary, and they were both the same. Both say that if somebody is your enemy, that it is a person that you hate or wish to cause harm to. A lot of people that are unsaved, they'll say, "Well, I don't hate God." But the Bible says you do. If you aren't willing, after the Lord Jesus died for you, if you aren't willing to take him at his word and repent from your sins, you are an enemy of God. You are God's enemy. You hate him. You have nothing in common with him. Think about that. The Bible says that our sins, Jeremy's sin, is the reason why he died. Jeremy's sins nailed him to the cross. The Bible says he was nailed, our sins nailed him to the cross. So put your name there. Whatever your name is, nailed him to the cross. That's right there in that meaning. You caused harm to him. And if you aren't willing to turn to him, that proves it even more. You caused full harm. You ate him. But the good news, the gospel is that you could be reconciled to him. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in him and repent and turn from your sins, and he will save you. And, you know, the terrible thing about it is you're not just going to be separated from God here on this earth. If you don't know him, you're going to be separated for all eternity. Matthew 25 and 32 says, "And before him," and speaking of the last days after the earth has done been destroyed, says, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth a sheep from his goats." The sheep, the Lord Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The sheep are those that are saved. The goats are those that are lost. You're going to be separated from God for all eternity. Imagine eternity without any good in it. Because the Bible says all good comes from God. Everything that's good originates from God. So eternity without God would be eternity of everything that is bad. Nothing that is possible to be good. That's what eternity will be like without God. You know, I'd like to turn my attention to the saved. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, said that we, as Christians, were to be separate from the world. We're supposed to look different. We're supposed to act different. Those that are lost are supposed to be able to look at us, the way we act, the way we dress, the way we carry ourselves, and tell that we are born again, that we are Christians. If you dress just like the world, if you act just like the world, if you tell the dirty jokes just like the world, just like those who are lost, how are they going to know that you're different? If you're acting just like them, the Bible says that we're supposed to be separate. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" That's a good example. What communion hath light with darkness? Have you ever seen light and dark at the same time? It's impossible. If you're in a dark room, you click a switch, instantly the light comes on and the darkness flees. So the Bible says we are to be like the light in the world and there the darkness. We are to be different. And it goes on to say, "And what concord hath God with Baal? Or what part hath he with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Come out from among them. Be separated. Live differently. Show them that you're a Christian. You know, if each one of us in here tonight lived like the Lord Jesus said for us to live, by tomorrow night, I believe this island would be totally changed. Sometimes I think when I'm out in the boat and something will happen and I'll get angry and I'll raise my voice. That's no way for a Christian to be. How can I get angry and raise my voice and get mad at somebody and then turn around and expect for them to follow my example? They've done seen the flesh in me. They've done seen the world in me. We got to guard ourselves. And I'm guilty of it. That's why I use myself as an example. Sometimes I get so upset and I'll holler and I'll scream and I'll say things I ought not say. And it's not a very good example to the lost. We're to be separate. We're to come out from among them. We're not to be yoked with them. They're supposed to know us when they see us. All right, give me a second. We're not to take pleasure in the things that they take pleasure in. You know, we'll sit down and we'll watch a sitcom with homosexuality, with sweethearting, with drunkenness, and we'll sit there and we'll kill ourselves laughing at it. The Bible says we're not to take any pleasure in their sins. Sitting down and laughing at a sitcom that takes pride in every immorality that's in the Bible, God has no pleasure in that. When we be separated from Him, we ought only to be separated from Him when we're in their presence. God wants us to be separate when we by ourselves. You know, a lot of times, especially with the young ones, there'll be all sorts of pressures. You know, they'll call you a mama's boy. They'll call you a nerd. They'll tease you. All sorts of things they'll say. But you know what the Lord Jesus said about it? In Luke 6:22, He says, "Blessed are ye when men hate you, and when you are separate, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." The Lord Jesus said, you blessed when your friends are going to go do something wrong and they sneak away from you. So, because they know that you ain't going to want to do it. The Lord Jesus said, you blessed. You don't have to do it. When they say they're going to do it, all you have to do is say, you know, I'm not going to do that. The Lord Jesus died for me, and He wants me to live better than that. He wants me to be separate from sin, and I'm not going to do it. Take pride in being called a goody-goody. You know, when we was up to the men's study, and I hope Brendan won't mind me saying this, but Brendan got up and gave a word, and to the end of it, he said something that's been it's been running over and over in my mind ever since. He said, "I'm proud to be called a goody-goody." Boy, I wish I could have said that when I was 16 or when I was 17. I wish I could have said that. I wish I could have had that type of testimony for the Lord Jesus. You know, take pride in it. Don't be ashamed to be separate from Him. And lastly, a word of encouragement. The last thing is in Romans 8:35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Is it not written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long? We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor light, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that thrilling to your soul? Of all the things I've just called off that we're to be separate from, that's one thing that it's not in our power to separate ourselves from. It says angels, powers, principalities, not even the devil, the Lord of this earth, could separate us from the love of God. Not even death. If we're born again, when we die, we'll be with Him eternally. And we will never be separated from Him. And now I want to turn my attention back to those who don't know the Lord Jesus. If there's anyone in here tonight who don't know the Lord Jesus, aren't you tired of being separated from God? Why don't you ask for forgiveness, confess, repent, and be separated from the world and the sin in this world, and have the joy in your heart of knowing that you could never be separated from God and His love again? You know, tonight, if you're in here and you don't know the Lord Jesus, there's a lot of people that would be thrilled to talk to you and to show you the way, to help you, to lead you to the Lord Jesus. And if you're in here tonight, come and see somebody. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Because the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time of salvation. And I want to challenge the Christians and myself also. Be separated. Live a separated life away from the world, away from those that are lost. Be able to know in your heart that when somebody who's lost looks at you, when they hear you talk, when they're around you, that they see the Lord Jesus in you, that they know that you are born again, that you are bought with a price. Don't be afraid to make a stand, to be separated from men and separated to God. And one last thought. You know, the Lord Jesus was willing to be separated for us. He was forsaken of God. For 3 hours, the Bible says God's back was turned from him because of our sin. So if he was willing to be forsaken of God for us, can't we be willing to forsake those who aren't living right? I'm not saying that you can't to speak to them anymore, to stop. No, you're not to do that. But when they go off in the corner to do the things that you know Christians ought not do, that's when you separate from them. And if the Lord Jesus was willing to be forsaken for us, we should be willing to be separated from him. Thank you for your time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that your word was clear and plain. We pray that if there's any in this service that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, tonight would be the night when they would separate themselves from the lost, separate themselves from the world, and separate themselves to the love of God. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would convict them of their sins and they would turn and repent before it is forever too late. And we pray that you would give us as Christians the courage to be separated from the world and to live for the Lord Jesus, and that the world would be able to tell in us that we are born again. And we ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you very much for your attention and for listening.